Brian, good morning.
Mike, how are you? Have you got a president for us yet?
We're in New Hampshire. You've been to New Hampshire many times. You know what it's like, my friend, right?
Yes, and it's a beautiful state, and this is a beautiful time for people to hide up there with all those little candidates coming in and telling them what they're going to do for us.
Brian, this is unbelievable. I mean, we are inundated with candidates already, and the primary is not till February of 2020. It's amazing, the process. You know what the process very well. You've done politics for years and years and years, and you know what New Hampshire is all about.
It must be really fun right now because they won't talk to us here in Washington, but they'll come up and talk to a little tiny group of 25 people up there. It's really an interesting dynamic.
It is. It is very interesting. Brian Lamb, our guest from C-SPAN, co-author of a book called The Presidents. And I wanted to ask you, we'll talk about the book in a second here, but, you know, the 40th anniversary of C-SPAN, you know, the president calls everybody fake news. He doesn't think that the networks, you know, deliver good news. I mean, when C-SPAN came around, what was the idea behind this cable network C-SPAN? Was it supposed to be this nonpartisan idea of political ideas and sharing views? What was it all about, Brian?
It was supposed to be that. It was also created as an opportunity for the American people, if they're interested, to see something other than what was created on 6th Avenue in New York City with ABC, NBC, and CBS. It was a one-way street for those big networks. They decided what we should see. They never asked the public what they thought or what their reaction was. And in our tiny little way, we came along and said it's time for the public to be able to talk back. It was during those, right around that time when talk radio nationally began. It had already started years ago and on a local basis. So we were just an extension of what had already been happening in the country on a national basis.
You know, back then there was no internet, there was no social media. So, you know, we would get the news. Now, the regular cable news networks, they take a topic, and they're not reporting the news anymore, Brian, as you know. They're becoming talk shows. So if CNN or Fox or MSNBC, whatever it might be, they take a topic, whatever it might be, and, you know, 50% of the topics revolve around President Trump these days, they need to get a panel of 6, 7, 8, 9 people to discuss that for the next 2, 3 hours. And I wonder if people really want that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, their audience is bigger than it ever has been on those 3 channels that we are thinking about. So from a financial standpoint, it's a big success. They're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, Fox News makes more money than any other news organization in the United States. And they do it with about a third of the number of people that CNN has. And CNN makes far less money than they do. It's complicated. All I can remember, though, is there was a time, and I want to be careful I don't overstate this, that there were at least 3, maybe 4 news networks on the radio in Washington, D.C. Today, there's one. It's the single most successful radio station, gross revenues in the country, WTOP. And it fluctuates based on the population, what they want, how much else is available. So I think, I personally don't like what I see happening to the news on cable television, but no one's asking me what I think. That's not my business.
Right.
And they can do whatever they want to. But, and I think radio still does a tremendous amount of important work for the public at large.
Well, I definitely agree with you on that part. And I've been in this business, you know, over 40 years. And you know, being a journalist and a talk show host here in New Hampshire, as you know, first in the nation presidential primary, it is amazing how these candidates gravitate to this tiny state of 1.3 million people and come here and spend a lot of money here and stay at hotels and motels and eat at restaurants and boost up the economy. It's an economic thing as well. C-SPAN, you know, I really love C-SPAN because I can look at that and just look at it and get my information. I can see a news conference. I can see a candidate's forum, and I don't have to get any spin cycle on it. I can just see it for it myself, and I think that's the real true advantage of C-SPAN, and I'm glad it's still around.
You know who one of the first C-SPAN junkies that we ever had was? A governor of the state of New Hampshire, John Sununu.
John Sununu, yeah.
I can remember like it was yesterday when we started. John Sununu told me once, it had to be in the mid-80s when we were up there doing some stuff. He said, I had C-SPAN 1 and 2 on my desk in my office when he was governor. And that was a big deal that you had a public official that was watching what was going on in Washington. And I had no idea that he would end up being the chief of staff down here to a president of the United States.
Yeah,
really interesting to watch that.
Yeah, and now we have his son, Chris Sununu, as the youngest governor in the state, winning a second term this past November. I want to talk about your book as well. It's called The President, and I'm fascinated whenever we rank the presidents. I love the polls out there. Who's the worst president? Who's the best president? Who's the most efficient president? I know you wrote this book with Susan Swain as well. Let's talk about this, and why focus on the presidents? And did you focus on all the presidents?
Everyone. We did not rate, and we didn't rate them. We asked about 100 different people to rate these presidents, and you can go on our website and find the names of everybody if you want to study that. We asked outsiders to rate how they thought about the presidents, and this all comes from us being involved in talking about presidents for the last 40 years. And the book itself comes, each chapter is from an interview that I did with an historian or a journalist about a president. And that, it was not my work. I mean, Susan Swain is the one that edited this book and put it all together. She took my questions out, and she's always wanted to take my questions out. She took my questions out and put together 10, 11 pages on each president. I like to call it a primer. It's something that you can read and dip into and ask yourself whether you want to know more, because there's so much more on each one of these men that have been present.
It's interesting. Were you surprised by some of the rankings of the best and worst when the book finally came out?
Not really. But you have to understand where I come from. I'm not here trying to rate them, and I really don't care where they end up in the chart. That's why we spend so much time talking to historians who spend so much time thinking and writing and researching. It's fun to play the game, but I'm just an amateur in this process.
Do you ever wonder, because I do, why does anybody want to become president? Why do they want to go through the process nowadays of becoming president of the United States with everything out there? You're under the microscope more so than ever before. I'm sure you've thought about this. Why? I'm sure you've asked people hundreds of times over the years at C-SPAN, why does anybody want to throw their hat into the ring? Why do they want to do this?
They usually start out wanting to do good, and they are elected as the chief lawyer in a city somewhere like Calvin Cooley. And then they begin to say, hey, I can do this. I understand this. And then the next thing you know, they're mayor of the town, then a representative, then a senator, then a lieutenant governor like Calvin Cooley, then the governor, then the vice president of the United States, and then president. And then tragedy hits, like it did for Calvin Coolidge. And he said, I got to get out of this. I'm not happy. My son died at age 16. And so you begin to watch the process in each one of these people. Sometimes along the way, they think they're really better than they are. And they love power. And they love, let's face it, they love people coming around saying, Mr. President this, Mr. President that, opening doors, getting on a big 747. The power and the cheers that come from the audience. You have to mix all that in, and it's different for different presidents. And you can't say anything that appeals to or that applies to all of these 44 men that have been present.
It is quite amazing. And once again, we are here in the thick of it early 2019, looking at what the possibilities will be for 2020. Brian Lamb joining us this morning, the founder, executive chairman, and now retired CEO of C-SPAN Networks. He's been at the helm of the Public Affairs Channel since he helped the cable industry launch it on March 19th, 1979. Wow, 40 years ago already. Brian Lamb, he's co-authored the book called The Presidents. Read the book, check out the book, and see if you enjoy and agree with the rankings of the presidents. Brian, thank you for joining me here in New Hampshire, home of the first in the nation presidential primary. It's a fun time to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. And please bring us somebody to vote for on both sides quickly.
We will do the best we can. Thanks, Brian.